This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO, YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Let's begin now.
What is up? Welcome to In the After Hours here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon alongside Mac Morey. Grant Nicholson is producing the show for us today. We got a lot for you here on this Wednesday. Basketball is back in action. Mac and I are locked into the NBA up on the screen. We might talk a little NBA because of one Joel Embiid in some controversy. Not for the load management stuff, but we'll get into that a little bit later. Of course, we're going to talk Chiefs, college football. You're dealing with me, so we always have to include college football. Sorry for all those out there. Yes, Grant, we're talking about K-State. Sorry.
It is what it is.
Anyways, again, text line, you want to participate in the show? We encourage it. 913-586-7965. We're going to start off by having one simple question, and we're breaking it down for you. How good can this Chiefs offense be? Simple as that. We know that DeAndre Hopkins has looked better game by game, essentially. Who knows? Maybe this Sunday, Mac, he has 10 catches for 150 yards and 3 touchdowns. Maybe it just keeps getting better.
Maybe we keep going up.
I don't know. That would be insane. Where you eventually have like the Jordan Watkins line, for those of you who don't know. He had 8 catches for 254 yards and 5 touchdowns for Ole Miss this past weekend. Don't think that's going to happen in the NFL, but the chemistry is very apparent, Mac, with, you know, they had to make the move, bring in DeAndre Hopkins. Okay, 20% of the snaps, he didn't know anything really going in about the offense, much less than what he does now, but 2 catches, 29 yards, I think is what it was.
Yep.
This week, more targets, more yards, 2 touchdowns that were crucial in that win over the Buccaneers. The outlook for the offense is one that I think you can, you know, ears perk up when you hear Isaiah Pacheco could be back. We'll talk about him a little bit later on in the show in the second hour. Hollywood Brown is going to be back in all likelihood. Could we see the same amount of production from Kareem Hunt and Noah Gray and Travis Kelce? I mean, you think about what the offense could be, and you're starting to get excited about it.
What you're saying is what quite literally has been the quote unquote, if there was one, the weakness of this 8-0 team could quite literally become still the strength. Yeah. In a top three or top one unit in the NFL at full strength. Once these guys come back, once DeAndre Hopkins gets fully into this offense, which, by the way, I mean, what has he been here? He's been 10 days. I mean, he hasn't even been 2 weeks, this guy. Drew, we talked, what, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago before this happened? Who was the guy that I wanted? It was DeAndre Hopkins. It was D-Hop. And he still has it. It turns out if you give him a quarterback, you give him an offensive coordinator, you give him a system, a structure, a chemistry that just to come into that he's already built with Patrick Mahomes. And you think about it, I mean, Patrick Mahomes with Cliff Kingsbury, spent some time in Texas Tech, obviously Cliff Kingsbury in Arizona with DeAndre Hopkins, similar offensive style, similar systems. So he kind of comes in, at least they have that sort of vein of similarity there in their careers where they can kind of go off each other and just jump off. And it's palpable how good DeAndre Hopkins is in this offense right away.
You know, I think too, one of the things that it might be, if they get Hollywood Brown back, when they get Pacheco back, they don't have the 17 game wear and tear on their body. Yep. So I don't know how much of an impact that's going to have. But if you think, we know how good Hollywood Brown can be when he's healthy. He's going to be fully healthy. It's not like he had an ankle injury or an ACL. You know, he had the whatever the shoulder collarbone thing that was kind of weird.
The sternoclavicular, something like that. Yes.
Whatever it was, it had nothing to do with his legs. So his legs are 100% fresh. Isaiah Pacheco, hopefully, I mean, they're not going to just throw all the workload at him, obviously, when he comes back. Kareem Hunt, being as good as he has been, will be nice to, you know, balance out what Pacheco can give you. But looking at what they can be with the offense, you almost get really, you get excited because of who it is. You get excited because the health that's there right now. DeAndre Hopkins, 25 catches for 288 yards, 3 touchdowns. Travis Kelce, 52 for 435 and 1 touchdown. You know, one of the things that we talked about on Cody and Gold, a question that came up is who has more receiving yards the rest of the way? But 913-586-7965. Mac and I want your thoughts on this. What do you think? Oh no, that was your guess on the stat line, or is that just what they've done so far?
That's what they've done so far.
Peel back the curtain. We have a rundown. This is what they've done so far. The numbers that I gave you. What do you think it is for the rest of the way? Do you think D-Hop scores more touchdowns than Kelce? Do you think Kelce gets more yards? What is it? 913-586-7965. For me, I think Travis Kelce gets more
targets and catches.
More targets and catches.
Same.
Where D-Hop, obviously, you're a little bit further down the field. I think D-Hop might get more yards and more touchdowns because I think Travis is going to score some more, I think, just because of what D-Hop provides. It opens things up a little bit. Hollywood Brown coming back will help, too. The threat of the running. I just think D-Hop, a lot of what we saw on Monday, we're going to see more of that. Where they get down to the red zone, get him the ball, he's going to go get it, whether it's him just doing a simple out route, if it's a fade ball. If it's the back of the end zone, like we saw where he's just running across the back of the end zone and Mahomes has enough time to be able to find him, I think D-Hop will get his fair share of yards and touchdowns more than Travis, but I think both of them are going to have really good final halves of the season because they balance each other out well and they help provide for each other in a way.
Well, if you just think about that one electric play between Mahomes and D-Hop down the field, triple coverage, Mahomes gets hit, he's off platform, no feet in the air.
That was an effort throw. He's down there somewhere.
And
that's
D-Hop
what that was.
Is going to get the effort throws. Kelsey's never gotten the effort throws. He's a tight end. He's the security blanket. It's third down and six. He gets the 7 yards effort throws. I'm going to throw it up high and Kelsey's going to go get it. He doesn't get the 47-yard effort throws. D-Hop is going to get that. And really, Mahomes hasn't had an effort throw guy really since Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, 5'10". You know, 5'7", as he'd say, or whatever.
It's a lot different when you're dealing with D-Hop, who's same athletic
body.
Ability, but
yes, can jump up. The catch radius is completely different. This guy, the drop rate is way lower. And something just kind of funny, you're going through the stats with D-Hop. With the Titans, you know, whatever it was, 5 games, because he missed a game or two. So let's say 5 games, I think it was. 15 catches, 173 yards, 1 touchdown. 2 games with the Chiefs. He's been here 8 days. 10 catches, 115, 2 touchdowns. He's got 5 less catches and like 60 SLR yards and a month less of football and no time. He was with the Titans last season as well. So he had, you know, 2 off seasons, really an off season and a half. He missed some of this last off season, but you know how much time he's had there compared to here. And we're already to this. And I know I'm looking way ahead here, but
yeah,
D-Hop and Rashee Rice on the same field together, man.
You're thinking
inject
ahead next
that
year, yeah.
into my veins. Please keep DeAndre Hopkins here. He loves being in Kansas City. And, you know, get him 1 ring. Let's get him 2. Quad Pete, baby.
I think it's
Tetra Pete.
Jeez. I think this might be. I think this it's a. It stems from this conversation. You mentioned DeAndre Hopkins, and you know, do you want him back? Who would you want back more? Would you want Hollywood Brown back or DeAndre Hopkins back next year? I know that there's a lot of unknowns.
Well, it's
obviously
kind of unfair, yeah.
Hollywood has the injury history.
Yeah,
Is that? Would you commit a year to D-Hop or Hollywood Brown, knowing that, you know, D-Hop is older. Obviously, you know, wide receivers aren't, and Father Time always catches up to everybody at a certain amount of time. When is that? Who knows? But you would want DeAndre, you would say firmly, it sounds like, that you would want DeAndre Hopkins, you'd rather DeAndre Hopkins be back next year than Hollywood Brown, just based on what we've seen this year. Is that the reasoning, just based on him being able to play?
At this point in time, the Chiefs aren't dying for youth in the wide receiver room. They have Rashee Rice when he comes back and is healthy, and whatever suspension he may or may not be served from the NFL. Maybe, let's say he's back week 8. You've got Xavier Worthy, who will then be in his second year. And I know we're looking ahead. Mm-hmm. We're in the middle of this season, but I'm just thinking about it just because these past two games with DeAndre Hopkins have been so much fun. I don't want this to end in 3 months, 4 months. Like, what? How much fun he's obviously having. You hear him on post game, like, I manifested this. I thought about this. I wanted to be here for a long time. So I'm also so happy for him. I'm also just a little bit biased because this is the guy that I wanted. I come from Nashville. I've reported on DeAndre Hopkins in the past, and I've seen him up close and personal. Be upset to see him here in my hometown, be happy and succeeding. I'm just like, let's go,
love
man.
It. Love it.
But I don't think the Chiefs need that youth. Hollywood Brown is going to be 28 next year. He'll have the injury history. It's not like he's a spring chicken at that point. Like, they can draft another wide receiver. I think D-Hop is a perfect fit. He's already showing it. And if, as for stats for the rest of the season, let's say D-Hop and Kelce both are at 0-0. I think D-Hop has, you know, 8 more games left for the Chiefs, 9 more games left for the Chiefs. Yeah, 9 more games left for the Chiefs now. I would say he's had 100 yards, over 100 yards in 2 games, really, but it's 1 game. He had 88 yards. So I'd say he has 700 yards in him in 9 games.
I think, I think
4 touchdowns, maybe 5.
Yeah. You see, like 50 catches, 55 catches, maybe the remainder of the way for 700.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And I think for Kelce, I mean, what is he at, 435 and 9? But really, it's these last 4 that he's gone off.
He's been great the last couple games.
He's been great. You know, I'd give him probably around the same, maybe a little bit more catches, but yes, maybe 600 yards.
How many touchdowns compared
550.
To 550? You think he's going to get the ball more in the end zone?
Honestly, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe D-Hop's 5 or 6 touchdowns. Maybe Kelce's, like, he only got 1 touchdown this season. Is that something that's going to sustain? Or is that something that we've seen the Kelce usage gone up, but not in the red zone. The red zone, I mean, we're seeing it, man. It's Kareem Hunt time.
Jay Southland, Tow Service text line 913-586-7965 from the 816. Travis says next 3 or 4 games will be good. Everyone's going to watch D-Hop, as in the defenses are going to be watching him. I think that's fair.
Okay.
I'm really interested to see, because Patrick Surtain Jr. obviously is a stud, one of the best corners in all of football. Mahomes said he might be the best corner in all of football. So I don't know how Denver does their thing on defense, but is it going to be like a shadow stuff where, hey, Surtain's on D-Hop the whole time? Going to be tough to get him the football. Like, he might be able to still have some catches. I don't know about the yards or anything like that. It's a lot like McDuffie in terms of him just being able to shut down guys. That's Pat Surtain. Maybe Travis has another, because Travis is on pace right now. He's on pace for, I think, a little bit under 1,000. If he keeps up like 70 yards a game, I think, even if they were to sit out week 18, if they get the bye, he might be able to get to 1,000 yards. I mean, he's on pace for that. And Xavier Worthy's had good moments, but had also some rookie moments as well.
Yep.
I think it's fair to say that D-Hop and Kelce obviously are a dynamic duo. I don't know if they're going to be, I don't know. I feel like Travis and Mahomes, the chemistry is always good, but this year it's a little bit off because Travis isn't able to get to his spots as easy as like for instance, Rashee. Like next year, Rashee's chemistry with Mahomes was to a point where I think they were locked in. Where Travis Rashee would break on a route, and Mahomes would know what he's doing, and he'd get him the ball just as well. I think D-Hop can get to that sort of a level maybe sooner rather than later because he is the all-pro wide receiver that we've seen.
Yes,
I don't know how soon, but I feel like you're going to have potentially 3 guys looking at next year, but 2 this year who have that chemistry where they can go off script and still be able to make plays. Someone also from the 313, shout out to Micah. Listener
yes,
of Cody
Micah.
And Gold. Yo, Drew, your Bengals are going to get smoked tomorrow.
Keep on hating, man.
I am slightly worried that T. Higgins is not playing.
And we'll talk a little bit more about that game later for sure.
Coming up next, though, here on After Hours, does anything that happened at the deadline make you say, oh man, I don't know about our chances anymore in the AFC? We'll talk about what Pittsburgh did, what the Lions did, what Baltimore did as well. All of that comes next regarding the trade deadline on After Hours right here on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a best man speech, but getting one from some random plus one.
I am honored to be standing here today, also confused and a little hungry. Does anyone want to switch entrees? Pretty sure I checked beef.
You wouldn't settle for just any speech, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Grant Nicholson. We were having a little, not heated, but we were having a debate.
It was getting there.
We were having a debate. We're going to get to that at the top of the hour. But first, 913-586-7965. Participate in the show. We'd love you to answer this question for us. Does anything that happened on the trade deadline change your mind about the landscape of the NFL? Does what Pittsburgh did, what the Lions did, what Baltimore did scare you any more than what we had previously? I think you can consider the trade deadline, the Bills trading for Amari Cooper. It wasn't at the deadline, but it counts. After all the moves made now, looking back from the deadline ending, do you think that are you any more worried? And the AFC, I don't think you can be worried at all. The only team that I think I don't even think you're worried about it, because if you're playing them in the Super Bowl, the Lions made the best deadline trade, the best overall deal, getting Za'Darius Smith in for Aiden Hutchinson, who they technically could have back at the Super Bowl if he recovers well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unlikely,
about all that.
But yeah.
But yes, you're right.
But I don't see how, to me, because the Baltimore move to me was out of desperation. Tre'Davious White is way past his prime.
Yeah, Tre'Davious White, man.
They needed to sign anybody. They could have brought in Marcus Peters. They could have brought in Xavier. They could have just brought the whole trio in and just prayed that everything worked for them, because they were so bad they needed help. The Chiefs shouldn't have gone after Tre'Davious White. Based on how Britt Veach has done moves, he probably could have gotten Tre'Davious White for the same price that the Ravens could have, and it was no problem for a 2026 or 2027 seventh-round pick. That's years in advance. The Ravens had to make a move, but it's not one that moves the needle and makes the Ravens any more scary. Maybe Pittsburgh, because they got Preston Smith from Green Bay that strengthens the defense, but we already know how good Pittsburgh's defense is, and they got Russell Wilson. How do you feel going against the Steelers in that game? It'd be ugly. It would be like a 13-10 football game, but I don't think you'd lose any confidence in what the Chiefs can do by how other teams have done things at the deadline. Other than, I mean, the Bills, but we already talked about the Bills, and getting Amari Cooper was the best move out of the AFC.
Getting Amari Cooper was the best move?
For a team in the AFC, yes.
Better than the Chiefs getting DeAndre Hopkins?
Oh, no, I'm talking about other teams.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
I'm talking about as it pertains to threat to the Chiefs. Yes. Amari Cooper was the one thing where you might say, the Bills are, it'll be interesting now. The Bills got a little bit better.
Well, I'll echo the 913 here, and you become part of the conversation here. Just text in 913-586-7965, 586-7965. I'm more confident than ever about the Chiefs. That's from the 913. I would completely agree. And usually I'm not this, like, biased homer. Oh, the Chiefs. But right now none of these teams scare me in the slightest, man. I mean, Buffalo's the closest thing to it because of Josh Allen, because I respect him more than any other quarterback in the league. I think it is, I've said this on the show before, it's Mahomes, Allen, huge drop-off than everyone else. That's the way I see the NFL landscape as far as quarterbacks are concerned. And I think the trade deadline, no one did enough to get even sniffing the Chiefs, where they're at right now, sniffing Kansas City, yeah. Especially in the AFC. Look at Detroit. I think Detroit's probably a more complete team from a roster perspective. I think they have better tackles. They probably have more depth. I mean, even with Pacheco coming back, Pacheco and Kareem Hunt could rival Montgomery and Gibbs, but it won't be as good or better than Montgomery or Gibbs. Things like that.
Do they scare you? Like I don't know if they.
No, because it's Goff. It's Jared Goff and it's Dan Campbell. And I think Dan Campbell is awesome, but Dan Campbell is going to make a stupid decision. A really stupid decision in the playoffs. It's going to be 4th and 5 on his own 35, and he's going to be super hyped up, adrenaline. He's going to have just, snorted some smelling salts or whatever before game time. He'd be like, yeah, let's go, hoorah.
I thought you were going to say something else, I'll be honest.
No, none of that. He doesn't have, my whole thing with Dan Campbell is, he doesn't have rhyme or reason for the decisions that he makes. He just feels it in game, and I think you need some heart, but you need some brain too, and I don't think Dan has that yet, and I think that'll take time. Andy, I think from the other end has probably struggled too much with, okay, man, you got to just feel this game out because you're sticking too much to the book, or your kind of conservative, ideals or whatever, your logic. I you got to get out of your own head in some ways and use your heart. And I think Dan, kind of the other way, it's like, hey, man, I know you're a former player, all this football player, but come on, it's game time stuff. But you've got to have some more thought processes behind what you're actually doing. And I don't think they're there yet. I don't think any team is even close to from a on the field or off the field process, standpoint. I don't think they're there. Like, any team structurally has been there. I don't think a trade deadline was going to change that. I mean, I think Pittsburgh did well to maybe further themselves, but I'm not taking them seriously. I'm taking them more seriously to win a playoff game. I wouldn't have said that a few weeks ago, but
To actually
beat the Chiefs, yeah, Pittsburgh, come on.
I do think the line, if you had to pick one team that, I mean, they didn't even have to make a deadline move, I guess. It would still be the Lions, I think, just because of how they've looked, complete team. They beat the brakes off the Packers on the road in an ugly game. Jared Goff they've won with Jared Goff throwing 300 yards, they've won with him throwing 80 yards. This text came in after you said what you said, for the 913, quote, the Lions scare me, but ultimately they will beat themselves when it matters most. Just along the same point that you were making,
exactly,
Mac,
right.
Like,
it's exactly
Dan,
right.
Dan Campbell will make a decision where it's like, this, they find a way to mess up.
And like, Goff's playing perfect right now, and I'm really excited for Jared Goff. He should be even further up the MVP ladder right now. He should be ascending that conversation because it's a regular season award. But when it gets to nut cutting time, Drew, and these defensive coordinators had a week to study you, and they know what you're
getting. Aaron Glenn or Spags. You're taking Spags.
Yes. Exactly. And they're coming after you, and McDuffie's hunting you, and Chris Jones is breathing down your neck. Like, I don't believe in Goff when it's nut cutting time.
I think it's a fair point, because I mean, when they went to the Super Bowl, they didn't, part wasn't really the main reason. From the 8-3-2, I think this is an interesting point. I'm more worried about what happens when Pacheco and potentially Hollywood Brown come back than I am about any other team. We literally have a perfect thing going right now. I'd really hate to mess with that. I think that, to me, I think that is an interesting point that I think is warranted because, you know, you don't want to mess up anything that's perfect. But similar to the first part of the conversation that we had just like 10 minutes ago is picturing what the team could be. I'm not saying, like, I wonder if they add them in. Like, Pacheco has already played this year. He's going to get thrown back in, and he's going to be fine.
Seamless, man. This is seamless.
The Hollywood thing, I get, maybe not necessarily concerns you, but him picking things up in terms of getting his legs back under him because he hasn't played, he hasn't taken some hits, he's fresh, but also just being able to get back into game shape is different than just practice shape. So him playing, how much can he give you right away? You're not just going to throw him in right away. I think they're going to ease him into the divisional round, ease him into the AFC championship. You know, he's going to, if I had to guess percentage wise, he gets 65% of the snaps on offense divisional round because he's got the playbook down by now. He's got it. He's going to have it down.
He's guess. Yeah. Absolutely.
I would say 65-70% of offensive snaps, and then he's going to get all the way up to whatever he needs to be at for the AFC, for the championship round, if the Chiefs do make it there, and then for the Super Bowl, of course, he'll be ready to go. So,
well, the good thing is,
I'm not concerned about that necessarily because we know for the exact same reasons that you brought up. If there's any coach and any quarterback that can help get your guy ready to go, Andy Reid knows what he's doing in that respect. Patrick Mahomes knows what he's doing in that respect. He can get comfortable in the offense maybe quicker than, oh, I guess any other team you could even say.
And guess who played side by side with Hollywood Brown?
I'm trying to think, and I'm
DeAndre Hopkins. They played together in Arizona.
That's right. I was thinking
they played together in Arizona.
I completely forget D-Hop's time in Arizona for whatever reason.
They were side by side on the field together. Like, he is going to be able to fit in. He was in Texas this offseason with Patrick Mahomes running routes. Like, I know they haven't played a game together, but there is some semblance of work done together before. And I'd say to you, the 8-3-2, you said what we have going right now is perfect or something along those lines.
I think it's a valid point.
Well, but what I'd say to the 8-3-2 is that's what's great about it is this isn't perfect. And that's what should be scary to the rest of the league. This isn't perfect, man. You still have, you know, Justin Watson and Mecole Hardman playing vital roles in your wide receiver room. You know what I mean? Like,
it's good, but it's not as good as it could be.
It's going to be even better. It's going to be, and your point with Pacheco is absolutely right. Kareem needs this. Kareem needs Pacheco back soon.
How many carries did he get? He's been getting like 20 plus carries
every game, man. That's not sustainable.
I was driving in. Carrington said he's on pace for like 377 carries this season.
Yo, that's crazy.
That's an insane number.
No, it's asinine. That can't stop. That can't sustain.
To that conversation for the 816, where and how does Clyde Edwards-Helaire fit in, if at all? We're at the point now where I think Clyde's just getting like healthy scratched, I guess, in a way now, because Andy Reid has come out and said, we like where he's at. He's been able to practice here.
Yeah.
That's part of the interesting conversation. We're going to get into it a little bit more the second hour. But I think the running back room as a whole, when Pacheco gets back, you're not going to carry five running backs on the active roster. It's not going to happen, I guess, in all likelihood. I don't think there's any solitary way that Andy would do that. We'll talk about maybe who's the odd man out, if you will, in that conversation a little bit later on. But up next, midseason NFL check-in. Mac mentioned Jared Goff maybe should be a little bit higher in the MVP discussion. How high do you rank Patrick Mahomes? Defensive player of the year, coach of the year, rookie of the year, offensive player of the year, all that. Who's in, who's out? We're going to break it down for you next. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the battery doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure.
It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. Flavors, art, neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing a lawyer, but getting some guy who just watches courtroom dramas.
How does the defendant plead?
Guilty.
Wait, what?
Also, objection.
You object to what?
Erroneous.
Counsel, approach the bench.
Hey, can I get a whack at the gavel?
You wouldn't settle for just any lawyer, so don't settle for just any insurance. Get the real deal with State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
With networks like Fox News, CNN, MS Now, and more, Sling is the best way to get the news you care about, which is great for everyone. Well, almost everyone.
Where's that dang paper boy? I need my news outdated and rolled up like a burrito. Finally! Now I can read about what happened forever ago.
Get the most important news delivered reliably at the best price. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com/news. See your offer.
After Hours continues right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. 913-586-7965. You want to participate in the show? We'd like to hear your thoughts on who you think the MVP is going to be. We're going to give a mid-season check-in as we're basically at the halfway point for some of the NFL season. Who's in, who's out of the playoffs? MVP, I think, is an interesting conversation as it is one of the highlights. Grant, we'll get your MVP as well. It's easy to say, if you want, again, we had this conversation a couple weeks ago, Mac and I did. If you wanted to pick the best player, which is technically what the MVP is, or just call it the best player award, then Patrick Mahomes probably wins every single time. Michael Jordan would have won every single time. LeBron James would have won every single time. But for what it's worth, Mahomes is not having the greatest statistical season. It is a statistical award. Unfortunately, that's the way that it goes.
Yeah, this award sucks, just to preface this whole conversation. I hate this award.
All the awards suck.
Hate this award.
Well, Coach of the Year. They had the
Coach of the Year blows.
We went through the odds today a little bit. Sean Payton has better odds to win Coach of the Year, I think, than Andy Reid does, which is blasphemy.
He does.
It's embarrassingly bad. But
he's
MVP.
Win 8 games this year.
I think Josh Allen right now, I would say, to me, would be the MVP vote. I think Jared Goff is in
Josh
the conversation.
Okay.
I think Lamar Jackson is in the conversation. Mahomes, I think, is still in the conversation. I think Joe Burrow is at the end of that conversation. But I would say Josh Allen right now would get my vote for MVP right now.
Just to give some odds out here, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen tied, leading the way, plus 300. You got Mahomes, plus 450. Goff and Daniels at plus 800. That's what
Daniels is a sneaky one. That's, but rookies just don't win that award. If you're talking rookie of the year,
exactly.
It's Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, it's
easily. You can book that now.
It's extremely easy, and the odds show as such. And then that's when the drop is. So you're at plus 800. That's when the drop off happens. You go to Jalen Hurts and Joe Burrow at plus 1600, and that's really where it is.
Hammer that line for Joe Burrow. By the way,
I would
win yourself some money.
No, I agree.
Yeah, those are good odds. It's good value.
That's massive value. I mean, if the Bengals beat the Ravens, that is going to skyrocket.
Oh,
those odds are going to be up to plus 800, where Jaden Daniels and Jared Goff are.
Grant, who's your MVP right now?
I'm going Josh Allen as well. Yeah, just because it's a narrative award and Lamar's got two, Patrick's got two, and Josh is
narrative.
He's kind of the odd man out, and if they beat the Chiefs, everyone's going to be like, oh, he beat the undefeated Chiefs. Yeah, he's playing the best he ever has. It's going to go to Josh Allen.
I agree.
If they do beat the Chiefs, I think it's locked. I think MVP might be locked in. If the Bills are still playing good and the Bills beat the Chiefs, you might be able to just say, yep, Josh Allen's the MVP. The odds are going to be minus money by the time this thing's over with. Who do you have?
Yeah, I think this is a clean sweep. Yeah, it's Josh Allen. He was my Jordan Love was my preseason number one pick, and Josh Allen was my number two pick. For kind of the same reason you just laid out, granted, it's like he has not won it. This is a narrative award. You've got the two other elite guys in his conference who have both won it twice. To me, Lamar Jackson's doing everything in his power to overcome the odds of winning it back to back because, you know, you get voter fatigue and voters are very reluctant to vote a guy twice, let alone back to back. You really have to outdo yourself. I mean, for Mahomes to win, you know, another MVP, he's going to have to get close to that 5,050. He's going to have to do something even more incredible than what we've seen, even more jaw-dropping than what we've seen in the past. And that's just hard. And Josh Allen hasn't had the hardware yet. So I think that's a good pick. I think Joe Burrow, frankly, for the narrative and what you're saying is that starting down in the dump sucks, but their defense also blows. That helps you.
Yep.
That helps an MVP. It doesn't help Patrick Mahomes that the defense is good. But I do think Mahomes, just kind of segue to him, belongs more in this conversation. I think last night proves it. I mean, 11 for 12 or 11 for 11 or whatever.
Just based on how he's been able to win games late and stuff with playmaking?
Yes. Doesn't have a turnover in the fourth quarter. He's like, oh, the interceptions. When the game matters, he's not turning over the ball. He's making touchdowns happen. He's moving the chains. He's ending games. He's down on one knee. And the clock's ticking zero every time. That's what's happened. That's what's happening. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson's lost to the Cleveland Browns. He's lost to the Raiders.
Yeah.
Why is this guy... that should matter more.
And I still think the fact
that happened 2 weeks ago.
And I know that he's playing great, but...
Damn it.
Yeah, I think that Josh Allen right now should have better odds than Lamar Jackson should.
Yes.
Just for that sort of reason. From the 816,
like you said, it's a stat award.
Oh, yeah, it is. And it also is a quarterback award from the 816. If it wasn't a quarterback award, Derrick Henry should probably win it. I think that's a name that absolutely gets mentioned. Probably, I don't know if he'd be the favorite.
Well, that's a good...
Out of the non-quarterbacks, I don't know if Derrick Henry's even... If you can even bet odds on Derrick Henry.
I'm sure you can. But let me see.
I think that is a good... That's a fair mention because of how good he's been.
You can get...
I don't know who else
plus 4,500, you can get Derrick Henry. Now, he is leading the way in Offensive Player of the Year. And that kind of feels like a two-man race right now. It's him and Saquon. Derek's minus 150, Saquon plus 250, and then you got to drop off to plus 750 on Justin Jefferson. And then after that, you're just to basically, you know, guys who aren't going to win the MVP, Lamar or Josh Allen.
The fact that we have an MVP and then we have an Offensive Player of the Year award is the goofiest damn thing, the goofiest thing in sports. It's not just football because other sports have a similar thing too. It's so stupid. It's so dumb where you honestly don't. Because if you win MVP and you're a defensive player, you win Defensive Player of the Year. If you're an MVP and you are an offensive player, you should win Offensive Player of the Year as well. Like, it should be a double sweep there, or you just get rid of the award in general, one of them. Defensive Player of the Year, I think we're going to differ on this, actually. Who do you have for Defensive Player of the Year?
I mean, TJ Watt. If TJ Watt didn't exist, it'd be Chris Jones.
Ooh, okay.
Those are the two.
How many sacks does Chris Jones have? I don't know. I'm just curious.
He's only got like two or three.
Yeah, it's not an insane number.
So this is why Chris Jones is not going to win it. Chris Jones is maybe the best defensive player.
Three sacks, yeah.
He might be the best defensive player, period. Pound for pound, the best. He's not going to win the award because he only has three sacks. It's just the way that it's going to go.
Yep, it's true.
TJ Watt has 6.5 sacks.
I know what name you're
going to
say.
The leader in sacks.
Here we go.
He had four. This past weekend alone, he is doing everything.
What's the record of his team?
Who won Defensive Player of the Year last year? Hold on. Was it Myles Garrett? Did Myles win it last year?
He did.
I believe it was, yeah.
He did.
What was the Browns' record last season?
They made the playoffs.
Made the playoffs.
Okay. That's it?
Made the playoffs.
What, like 9-8?
It's true. Maybe probably 10. I think they went 10-7.
Trey Hendrickson has 11. He leads the league in sacks.
Can we dissect that real quick?
He's the most underrated defensive lineman in football because last year he didn't get He did not get one vote last year, Mac, for Defensive Player of the Year when he had the third most sacks in the league.
But your defense was bad last year, Drew.
I know, but for him to lead, I think helps his point because guy on the line who is double-teamed, who is focused on, for a team that's got a bad defense, for that dude to still be able to play make like he does, I think it makes him even better. It makes him even better. Like, if he had a great secondary, where they were locking down everybody. It gives them more time to get to the quarterback. This is not just like a time runs out sack sort of thing, because the Bengals secondary has had problems. I think Trey Hendrickson should be, he's the defensive player of the year right now. Not only just because of the sack leading thing, but the defense stinks. He's the only good thing about the defense right now. Him and Logan Wilson.
11 sacks right now for Trey Hendrickson. Let's go through those.
He had four last weekend.
Who did they play?
It does not matter. It doesn't matter because if we're going to go on who they played, then I'm gonna be honest with you.
This is fun.
The Kansas City Chiefs play in the easiest damn division. Do you just want to take away the six wins that they had?
Whoa, no, easiest damn division. No. Whoa.
No.
The Bills, my good friend, play in the easiest damn division.
No. I think for what it's worth,
as three playoff
teams.
For
what it's worth, the NFC South might be the only worst division than the AFC West.
That's not true. The NFC South, the Bucs and the Falcons are both better than every other team in the AFC West besides the Chiefs.
It's the AFC East. That's the right answer.
It's the AFC East.
All right.
Now, I will admit the AFC North, a very difficult division, probably the most difficult.
Toughest is the NFC North, I think.
Yeah, AFC, NFC North. Yeah, one of those two. Yeah.
The Broncos, we know, are frauds, though.
Okay.
Stink.
All right, Raiders.
The Chargers.
Exactly. Raiders stink. He had four sacks against a stinky Raiders team. Two sacks against a stinky Browns offensive line. One of the worst offensive lines in football. The Giants, two more sacks. The Commanders, decent unit. He had a sack. And then the Chiefs, we know what happened in that game.
He's doing what he's doing single-handedly.
We left Kingsley Somotaia out to just by himself on an island. And
yeah, that was
Trey Hendrickson feasted with two sacks. Now, I think what you said though is true. To give him credit, most underrated player at the position. Yes, that's fair.
I think he's defensive player of the year. It's a statistical award.
Statistical award, but to go along with
also
the team and the unit. The unit has to be good. You mentioned the record for Myles Garrett was, but the Browns had a top three defense in football last year, and the large reason of that was holding them up when Joe Flacco wasn't in. When Deshaun Watson was in, the only reason they were winning any games was Myles Garrett. I've never seen the offense motion with the defense before. Myles Garrett was switching sides against the Tennessee Titans. You had two tight ends walking with Myles Garrett. They got a delay of game because of
it. I'm not saying that Myles Garrett is not the best defensive end.
When we talk about it, there's levels to this.
That again is part of the whole player of the year conversation. I think that goes into it is if you took defensive player of the year every year, it was always going to be Aaron Donald. As long as Aaron Donald was playing, it was always Aaron Donald.
100%.
But he didn't always win the award.
No question.
Like, Myles Garrett right now is the best. TJ Watt is the second best. But based on what's happening right now, Trey Hendrickson is a defensive player of the year in my mind. And I wonder do you have to win the division? Someone from the 660 brings up to be the MVP or to even, I guess, in a way, win any of these awards. I don't think you should. I think it helps. No. But I don't think you should have to win. To me, because that's the point that Cody and Alex have made on Cody and Gold is Joe Burrow's not going to win MVP unless they win the division.
It's not true.
In my mind, if Joe Burrow puts up crazy numbers or Lamar Jackson, if Lamar Jackson put up wild numbers and they're a wild card team and they are on the road, if he puts up wild numbers with the bad defense that they have too, then maybe Lamar should be MVP because he is the reason that they're in the playoffs single-handedly as opposed to just the team being good. So I think it depends. You know, there's always levels to everything.
All
the stuff,
but my part of my reason against Lamar too, though, is, I mean, we've got a text in here about Derrick Henry being MVP. How are you the MVP when you also have another guy who could be considered to win MVP on your team?
I think that's
the antithesis of the MVP.
Yep.
To get my two cents in on Chris Jones,
yes,
to hijack it here for a second. He may never win an NFL Defensive Player of the Year award. It seems like maybe his best statistical seasons may be behind him.
Yeah,
he's kind of in like a load management situation going forward, probably. But he also gets this really weird, like, oh, you weren't Aaron Donald, like, minus next to his name.
Yes.
When he's clearly the best defensive tackle in the league by a wide, wide margin.
Yes.
But they're always going to be like, well, he wasn't Aaron Donald, who's like maybe the best defensive lineman
ever.
Those are haters. Totally unfair for Chris Jones.
BS. I
agree.
He's
had defensive player of the year seasons and he won't get that award.
In the end, I think honestly, in the end, if you're a Hall of Chris Jones is a Hall of Famer.
Easily.
It doesn't matter if you're the, if you want to be the, there's no, to me, The greatest of all time does not, there's not, it's not a thing. It's an opinionated thing. Your goat is different than my goat is different than Mac's goat. Maybe it's similar, but it is different for different reasons.
Me and Grant have the same goat.
Chris Jones is probably not the greatest defensive lineman ever, but that doesn't take away to your point, Grant. Anything that he's done in terms of, even now, Chris Jones is not statistically giving you what he has done because he's getting double teamed and he's getting triple teamed and he's just so dang good that you have to do what you can against him. And if George Karlaftis gets two sacks, all right, George Karlaftis had a day, but we're going to make sure that Chris Jones does not beat us. That, I think, is the ultimate respect to a player, particularly on defense, is if you're going after him and you're doubling that guy.
Yeah, I mean,
that person, even though you might not get the numbers and might not win the award, in terms of who's best, that's where you get the mark over any other defensive tackle in the league who might have more sacks than you because you're getting double teamed and triple teamed because you're that guy.
I just want to make sure Chris Jones gets his credit because it's been super annoying for the last five years. Every single time a national guy talks about Chris Jones, they say, man, Chris Jones is so good, but he's probably number two behind Aaron Donald. And he's always going to have that little minus next to his name, and it's just crap.
Yeah, I kind of echoed that the other day on Fesco and Dusty, kind of saying like he just happened to kind of coincide with Aaron Donald's career and then kind of right into TJ Watt. So you've got two top 10 defensive players maybe of all time right in the middle of Chris Jones's career, and that's just going to shadow him. That's just is, and it sucks. I agree completely. Chris Jones is first ballot Hall of Famer and by far the best at his position right now.
Stone Cold Jones. We're going to get to Chris Jones a little bit later on in the show, not for something related to on the field. Well, part of it maybe. Up next, though, Joel Embiid and the reporter Marcus Hayes got into it. Not the first time it's happened. We'll discuss that. And Mac and I are kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum here. We're also kind of together on it. We'd like your thoughts as well. 913-586-7965. In terms of how athletes are treated by the media, by people in general. Yes, we're going to talk about Jason Kelce as well. That comes next. It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
It's After Hours on 96.5 The Fan, your home for KC Sports. Drew Nixon, Mac Morey, Grant Nicholson producing the show for us. So Joel Embiid. I don't know who would say my guy, Joel Embiid. Maybe not even Philadelphia fans, given how he's been very vocal about skipping games. But I want to get your thoughts on this. 913-586-7965. It goes along the lines of what happened as well to Jason Kelce over the weekend. If you missed it, Jason Kelce was being berated by a drunk Penn State fan, Penn State student, whatever it is. Called Travis Kelce a name. That's where it turned into more of an altercation where Jason took the dude's phone, broke it essentially, and you know, said afterwards, apologized on Monday Night Football. Look, I met hate with hate. Respect to Jason Kelce for handling it that way. Or apologizing after, but even handling it the way that he did, because I think in certain moments, people forget that athletes are human beings.
Yep.
100%.
Yeah, screw that guy.
You don't bring people's families into it at all whatsoever. Happened with Jason Kelce. Happened with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid shoved a reporter reportedly for mentioning his late brother. He was asked by reporter Marcus Hayes, who covers the team for the Philadelphia Inquirer. There's a story that he had, an opinion article is about, you know, Embiid's availability, his workouts, him being in shape to play, all this other stuff. They've had issues before, but Marcus Hayes in this story mentioned his late brother and his son. And according to the AP and those in the locker room, Embiid traded words with the reporter prior to shoving him. And said, quote, the next time you mention my, quote, the next time you bring up my dead brother and my son again, you're going to see what I'm going to do to you, and I'm going to have to live with the consequences. I'm in full support of Joel Embiid. I'm in full support of Jason Kelce. Joel Embiid's been suspended 3 games for this. I don't think he should have been suspended. Meanwhile, the reporter has not been suspended for the team for the Philadelphia Inquirer. This crosses that line I think where as soon as you bring somebody's family into it, not even to mention Joel Embiid's late brother, the fact that one of his family members has passed and he was brought up in the story also is ridiculous.
That's terrible. Terrible.
I think basically this is what the columnist wrote. Quote, Joel Embiid consistently points to the birth of his son, Arthur, as a major inflection point to his basketball career. He often says he wants to be great and to leave a legacy for the boy named after his little brother who tragically died in an automobile accident when Embiid was in his first year as a Sixer. Well, in order to be great at your job, you first have to show up for your work. Embiid has been great at just the opposite, end quote. You don't got to bring people's families into it.
Nope.
He could have said everything without mentioning Joel Embiid's family, and it would have been totally fine, and the story would have come across just the same. The point would have been made, and I think everybody would have agreed with the reporter. You can't be skipping out on games, Joel. The fans want to pay. The fans pay money to see you play. You're openly admitting you're going to skip out on back-to-backs. That's not good for the franchise. The NBA doesn't like that, and the NBA didn't suspend Joel for saying that, by the way. To me, I just think that there's a line you don't cross as fans, as media. You have to cover the player with just as much as respect as you would expect from the player to give to you. Like, you can say that Joel, you can be critical of a player in their play. Like, hey, why is this happening? You know, you're struggling with this. What is there anything you need to do to work on it? Yada, yada, yada. We can sit up here and say, you know what? Patrick Mahomes has not been that great. And it's worthy when Mahomes hasn't been that great. He's been better. We're talking about it like he's been better. So I think there's a point, though, that you don't cross Mac and Grant, that I think it's very unfair to Joel, where him having this reaction, I know that he shoved the reporter, but picturing what you would do in that situation, where, and especially one of the people mentioned is passed, you don't got to do that. And I think Joel has basically openly said, like, look, I'm willing to even miss out on time. I'm willing to get suspended for this because you're not going to talk to me like this. I think you deserve some props.
No, I think you should stand on business with that. I agree. I think
stand on business. Perfect. I like it.
Yeah, he's standing on business. He's standing on his family, and he absolutely should. It's deplorable. It's disgusting, and it's disrespectful what that reporter did. And I would be, tempted to do the same of what Joel Embiid did, but I'm not Joel Embiid. I don't have that status. And to push someone or shove someone or whatever the language that was used to describe what he did.
Is
also unacceptable from Joel Embiid. And that sucks to say because it's justifiable to be angry for what that reporter did, and it is terrible. But yeah, Embiid also can't be shoving people.
I agree.
Both of them should be put in consequences. This reporter shouldn't be around the team for a month.
I don't know why he, because if this has been a run-in before, it's just a situation that was waiting to get to this point. It seems like almost as well. What do you think, Grant?
Well, I kind of agree that you can't bring up. You could have said every single thing you wanted to say without bringing up the passed away.
Can't bring up the man's family.
It's crazy. It's absolutely a crazy thing to do. Now, if Joel Embiid came to me for advice and says, "Hey, I'm going to shove the guy," what would you do? I'd say, I mean, you probably shouldn't shove him, but you shoved him, and I'm fine with it. So
from
he wasn't going to play anyways. Take the 3-game suspension. Who cares?
That's fair. That's fair.
By the way, he was not playing.
No, he doesn't play. He doesn't play anymore. Forever.
He's playing.
He hasn't played yet.
No, I know. And for that, he deserves some criticism. He is playing next week, though. For 9-1-3, real quick before we break. You're being soft on the Embiid combo. Reporter said nothing wrong. Yes, he did. You could say you didn't have to cross that line. You didn't have to cross the line. If I have a point to say, and I can say it without bringing up your family members, one of which who has passed away, you better do it that way. Otherwise, there's going to be some serious consequences. And it makes sense as to why Joel did what he did. Now, should he have shoved him, taken the high road maybe more? Fine. But he's been in previous beefs before with this guy, and I think it's just a problem. I think the league protect your players in a way as well. Like, dude, you can't be saying this. You got to suspend the reporter. You can't be asking questions like this, writing stories like this. It's an opinion piece. I know it's your opinion, but you can't say it. You can't do it.
The NBA, these teams, they don't employ the reporters. So they can't, I mean, they can revoke his press pass, but that gets into a weird spot.
That's what they should have done. Whatever.
I know it's a weird spot, but
it sets a precedent of you can be critical of our players, but you're not going to mess around like this. When we come back, out of left field question, you're going to like it. It was part of our little disagreement over one of the breaks. It's going to be fun. It's 96.5 The Fan. You're listening to After Hours. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is supported by Ring, because at the end of the day, your home is your sanctuary. And with Ring, it's protected. Whether you're across the house or across the country, keeping an eye on things shouldn't be a mystery. With the Battery Doorbell, you can keep track of your packages and see more of what's happening at your front door in real time. If you want to make sure your yard is safe at night, the Outdoor Cam Plus delivers a wide field of view and enhanced video clarity with Retinal 2K video. And for the ultimate in detail, you can upgrade to 4K cameras and doorbells featuring Retinal Vision. It gives you ultra-clear footage that actually lets you zoom in without losing those important details. The Ring system is helpful every single day. Like a lot of us, most of our shopping is done online. There's a certain peace of mind that comes with knowing exactly when a package arrives while you're busy at work or running errands. It's not just about the technology. It's about the relief of knowing your home is secure. It's incredibly easy to set up, and it gives you that extra layer of protection for what matters most. Your door, your yard, your home, your peace of mind. With Ring, it's protected. Shop cameras, doorbells, and more right now at ring.com.
In Pittsburgh, we've always forged things. We just forge them differently now. Flavors bold enough to stop you mid-bite. Art bright enough to change the way you see the world. Neighborhoods alive with color, music, and motion. In Pittsburgh, everything we ever forged was made to spark something more. Come see what sparks you at visitpittsburgh.com.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Did you know that you can buy your car completely online on AutoTrader? Really? Just visit autotrader.com, filter and search through dealer listings for the car you want, make, model, color, and all the features that matter to you. Go ahead, get picky. Whether you're into subcompacts with heated cup holders, crossovers with all-wheel drive, pickups with kicking sound systems, or SUVs that can survive whatever chaos your kids unleash, just drop in your info and you'll only see cars in your budget. Really, once you find your one and only, you can do the whole deal online and have the car delivered to your driveway. Or you can pick it up at the dealership and drive your new ride right off the lot. Really. Auto Trader makes it easy to buy your car online because the whole process is designed around your wants and must-haves. Auto Trader. Buy your car online. Really.